Well, we're in some very, very rich part of Scripture. We'll be in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. And it's maybe one of the more confusing, complex sections of Scripture. And many just kind of roll right over it and not really see what it all the implications are. For us personally, it's amazing when you get into this section. I love this section. We're going to do the very best we can to open it up and to go verse by verse to try to explain these things. But in the meantime, just ask the Lord yourself to show you the truths that we have here, because these are life-changing truths. You know, that will definitely affect your life for the rest of your life if you understand what's going on here. We were in chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, and we saw that we were saved by the life of Christ. We're saved by His life living inside of us. And we were talking about the glove. And the hand in the glove, we're the glove, and He's that hand in the glove. And anything that the glove can't do anything by itself, but when the hand comes into the glove does everything that the hand can do. Jesus Christ Himself is the hand. We are the glove. We fit together like this when you're in Christ Jesus. And everything that's needed in your own life, He's able to provide by His life, His saving life. We will be saved by His life, we see in chapter 5, verse 10. Well, this morning, we're going to go on with that theme, but it's going to have a little bit of a change in it. Instead of being His life living in us, now this time, we're going to be seeing what it means for us to live inside of His life. We live inside of Him. He lives inside of us. And it sounds kind of mysterious, and there is certainly a mystery involved with that, but it's not something that's superstitious or scientific or a science fiction, but it's the truth of what the Lord wants to do, you know, in us. And so when we're looking at Scripture and we come together, we're not coming together just to have a religious meeting, just get some emotion out or whatever. We're coming because we want to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. When you receive Christ Jesus, and I trust that most of you or all of you have. If you haven't, then you certainly have opportunity today to do that. But if you've received Christ, it's not just at one time you believe this set of this thought, this philosophy, and now you believe a new philosophy or a new set of truths. It's not that one moment you did one thing and now you did another thing, or one time I used to go surfing on Sunday morning, now I go to church sometimes. It's so much more than, I used to go to bars and now I go to, church or whatever. Or it's not like once I was going to hell and now I'm going to heaven. Christianity is so much more than all those things. Or one time I didn't say the prayer and now I did say the prayer. And so now I'm saved or whatever, you want to call it. It's so much more than all those things because now we are a new creation in Christ. It's a whole new change of not just ideas and habits and thoughts and in places that we go, but it's a whole new life. It's a new birth. It's a new identity. It's a new personality. It's a new mind. It's a new heart. It's a new song that we sing. It's a new environment that we breathe. And if we've missed that, we've missed what it is to be in Christ. And so when we look at this section, we're going to see the radical transformation that occurred to go from being in Adam, being born in Adam, born in his sin, and then being born into Christ the new creation. In this new environment, this controlled environment, the air that we breathe, the life that we live, the walk that we walk is all in conjunction to Christ Himself. So we're going to read this, and as we read it, you're going to go, huh, what does that all that mean? Perhaps there'll be some things that will be clear, some things that will be a little bit unclear, but we'll go back over and we'll explain the whole thing so that we'll have a good understanding. Because by the time you leave today, I want you to see that you are firmly, if you have received Christ Jesus, you know, you're not just now having a different set of ideas than you did before, or you said a prayer, but now you're going to see that you have a whole new life, and the Lord wants to live that life in you and through you. So let's read this section. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it starts off, I'm reading from the New King James. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, who is Adam. For the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so as one man's obedience, many were made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through the righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we read your word, it's so deep, it's so rich, it's so wise, it's so over our heads so much of the time, but Lord, you're wanting to reveal it to us, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd open up our eyes and open up our hearts so that we would receive from you, that we could be set free. Lord, that we would be able to see, Lord, what you have done, Lord, in us and through us and what you're wanting to continue to do, Lord, to set us free. Father, we thank you that you have done a work already, Lord, and we've seen the work that you've done, but Lord, you're wanting us to go into a deeper work. You're wanting us to go deeper with you than we've ever been before. And Lord, we see that it all comes in knowing you, in knowing your word, in knowing what you said, and knowing what you're doing. Lord, let us not be ignorant to your life in us. Let us not be faithless or in unbelieving, not receiving everything that you have for us. Lord, may we not question your word, Lord, because this is your word. It's living and powerful for those who would receive it, but for those who would doubt it, it means nothing. It has no power, it has no strength, it has no ability. But Lord, for us who are saved and those who are being saved, Lord, but it is the power of God. It is your power. It's your life. It's your ability. It's our hope. And so, Lord, do that work this morning, Lord. Be our teacher by your Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, we need to be encouraged today. We're in very discouraging times. We're in a very discouraging world. So, Father, please do that work of encouraging us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, there's questions that we have, you know, the questions, you know, things like, you know, if you're a Christian, you know, or, you know, if you're, you know, what, what's life all about? I mean, where did it all start? What is, you know, why are we in the situations we in? You know, why do people sin? You know, why do people go to funerals? You know, why is man rebellious? You know, is it possible to have relationship and fellowship with God? You know, and all these things, these are the questions that we have, and it's all answered right here before us in these few verses. You know, we're seeing that in this section, we're seeing that there's two men that are being represented here in these verses, and the one is Adam. You know, Adam is one, and the second one is Christ himself. Everyone who is ever born in this world was born into Adam. And born into his sin, and the only way we can get out of that is to be born into Christ and into his life. So let's take a look at this, and this so we can understand what this is talking about. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world. And that one man was who? Adam, okay? And so we see this in Genesis, don't we? We see that in Genesis, Adam ate the forbidden pineapple or whatever it was. It doesn't say apple. You know that? It doesn't say orange or apple. This says fruit. So whatever that fruit was, he ate this fruit, and this fruit ended up bringing sin upon the whole world and death upon the whole world. There wasn't sin, there wasn't death up until this time, but then once he ate the forbidden fruit, well, then we see that the power, you know, this sin came into the world as a power, as a nature, as an identity. It's not the act of sin, because as we look in scripture, sin speaks about the very nature. Sins, plural, speaks about the act of sin. And so here we're looking at, it's not just the fact that he sinned, but his sin spread to all of us. So as one man, sin entered the world, the entire world, and death came, physical death and spiritual death, resulted through this one sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned by action and by association with Adam. So it spread to all men. It would be like having a contagious disease, and like, you know, H1N1 virus, you know, something that would be like a million times more contagious than that. You know, sometimes you see some of these movies and someone coughs and then, you know, it gets on people and then they start dying within, you know, seconds and all that kind of stuff, you know, and you just go, oh, wouldn't that be bad? If someone came into church and sneezed and then the whole thing, you know, just fell over all the people in here and we're, you know, and then, you know, before we end the session, you know, we're all dead. You know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, it's just, and sometimes you have these movies and, you know, it's possible that some of these things could happen. Well, it's already happened. Something that, but it's even worse than that, which you could have ever even imagined. When Adam sinned, sin came into the bloodline of all humanity even before they were even born. So we were all identified with Adam's sin. That's how we came into this world, identifying with Adam's sin. We're all separated from God because of that sin. And so this is what's being said here, because we, you know, it says that we all sin. No one could stop it. It was incurable. And it was spread by everything. It was spread by just being born. And then it says, goes on, verse 13, for until the law, or before the law even came, sin was still in the world. Before Moses came into the world, who gave the law, sin was still in the world, but sin is not imputed. It's not charged to man's account when there is no law. So if there's no law to transgress, there's no law to break, then how can we have this law against us? In other words, if you were driving on the freeway and you didn't have, like, say you're on the Autobahn in Germany, and there's no speed limit there. You could drive as fast as you want. And so, you know, you could just drive, you know, you could drive 220 miles an hour or kilometers an hour, and it wouldn't be a problem. You wouldn't be transgressing the law, because there is no law saying you have to slow down. You can drive as fast as you want. But here, you know, if you drive 220 miles an hour, then you probably are going to get into some trouble if you can be caught, actually. But they'll get the helicopters out and they'll probably finally get you. And then when they get you, you're going to be in really deep trouble because you have transgressed the law. Well, why did you transgress the law here and not in Germany? Well, because there's a sign. There was a law that was put out saying you can only drive 70 miles an hour or whatever it may be. But here, so we have transgressed that sign, and so then we're guilty. But, you know, before the law came, there wasn't any signs. There wasn't any speed limit, and everyone was speeding, but it wasn't put on people's accounts because the law hadn't been given yet. But people still died. Still, the effects of sin was still there on everyone from Adam to Moses, even though there wasn't a law. Why? Because we all contracted the sin that Moses received death when he sinned in the garden. It all came upon us. Even before you sinned, you are a sinner. You're not a sinner because by virtue that you sin, you're a sinner by virtue of how you were born. You're born into this world. You're born into Adam. Every single one of us are hopelessly born into Adam. So that's why we need something greater than just a change of ideas, a change of religion, a change of even behavior. We need a whole change of our parentage. We need a whole change of our life. We need a whole change of our identity to go from Adam and into Christ. When God sees mankind, he sees us as two different types of people. He doesn't see us as Jews and Gentiles. He doesn't see us as liberal or conservative. He doesn't see us as Democrat or Republican. He doesn't see us as black or white or brown. He sees us either in Adam or in Christ. And there's no in between. And there's no kind of. There's nothing, you know, that is even close to being, I'm kind of a Christian. You know, yeah, I kind of do Christian things. I kind of agree on Christianity. And I go to church every once in a while, you know, all these type of things. That's not it whatsoever. Either you're in Adam and you're in the death and the condemnation and the judgment of Adam, or you're in Christ, reigning in life by the grace of God, having Christ's life cover you from all sin. Going on. So in verse 14, it says, "Nevertheless, death reigned." Still, everyone still died before the law. From Adam to Moses, there was about 2,500 years in that time. Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. The transgression of Adam, he was given one law, just one law, one rule, one commandment. Don't eat the one fruit, one tree. All the other trees, no problem. But just one. I'm just asking you, Adam, just this one tree on the whole planet Earth, just this one. Stay away from it. What do you do? What tree was that, did you say again? Could you point it out to me specifically which one you don't want me to eat of? That one right there? Okay, thank you very much. He goes right over to it. I mean, I don't know how long it took. It doesn't say how long it took. I don't think it would take long. He was probably mesmerized by that tree. He looks at that tree and goes, oh, wow. Man, what's so good about this tree that he doesn't want me to eat of it? It was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, interestingly, just as a side note, there was two trees in the garden. What was the other tree that was mentioned? The tree of life. You know that Adam could have eaten the tree of life at that point? The tree of life, it's like Christ himself. It's like the life, the saved by his life that we're talking about last week, you know, the life of Christ living inside of us. That's what he would have got if he would have eaten on the tree of life. He would have lived forever in Christ Jesus, but he didn't eat of that one. He ate of the other one. Remember when after he ate, what happened to the tree of life at that time? Yeah, the Lord put a cherubim right there and a flaming sword so that he couldn't go back into the garden and eat of this tree, because if he would have, then his sin would have been on him forever and ever, because the tree of life was really Christ Jesus himself. And we see in the book of Genesis and Revelation, we see the tree of life being mentioned three different times in the book of Revelation. So eventually we're going to see the tree of life again. And we're going to have that life that Adam forfeited in the garden, we are going to receive. And we have received parts of it even right now as we have received Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. He is that tree of life. But here we're seeing that the Lord is just, you know, wanting to encourage us, you know, not to be like Adam, you know, but to receive and to be as Christ. And so he says, it says, look in verse 14 again, and it says at the end there, it says that who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who is to come, a type or a representation or a prefigure or a typology. So Adam was a type of Christ. So what Paul is saying here by the Holy Spirit is that we're seeing that Adam was a person, but then Jesus was a person like Adam, that there were similarities. Well, we see some similarities, but we see more differences than we see similarities. You know, the similarity is the fact that Adam was the head of the whole human race. He was the first human on earth, and he represented everyone who's come into the earth and has been born on the earth. His sin has been identified with every human being. But then Christ, he is also the head. He is the federal head of the spiritual race. He is the one who has brought life from the dead. We were dead in Adam. Sin killed us, but now in Christ Jesus, we have been made alive. And so you have the two federal headships, Adam of the human race, Jesus as a spiritual race. What we lost in Adam, we more than regained in Christ Jesus. We'll be speaking about that in a little bit. Now, it's interesting also that what the Lord wants now for us, we have to get out of Adam and into Christ. You know, it's not that Adam needs to have a makeover. You know, who you are in Adam before you receive Christ, it's not just changing the way you look or even the way that you act. You know, like you can modify your behavior. You know, you can change the way you look. You know, you can go to different places, good places instead of bad places. You can believe right things, but that doesn't get you from Adam into Christ. There had to be a death. There had to be a death and a burial to Adam, who you were in Adam. Do you understand what that means? You were all in Adam before Christ, and who you were in Adam had to die, had to be buried. We see this in 1 Corinthians 15:22. Let me read this. It says, "For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." So you're looking at people that don't know Christ. They're walking around dead. They're dead. Spiritually, they are dead. They act alive. They do things that, you know, that speaks about life. You know, they breathe, they talk, they do all these things, but we need to see that they're dead. It's a tragedy. And if you haven't received Christ yourself, you need to know that you're dead. This is what the Bible tells of those who have not received Christ, that you're dead. But it's not the end of the world that you're dead, because Christ has come to give us life, to give it more abundantly. It's not the end of the world. We can receive life now. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. All the old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Do you understand that? You know, that if you're in Christ Jesus, and if things aren't new in your life, if things are still old, then there's something that you're missing. You're missing the life of Christ. You're missing the victory that he wants you to have. Remember when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John? Remember he said that you must be born again? And, you know, people go, born again, huh? You're one of those born againers, ridiculing you because you say that you're born again or whatever. You know, well, this is what Jesus was speaking about. He was talking about Romans 5, 12 through 21. You have to be born again. Listen to what he says to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, this is in verse 3 of chapter 3, he says, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. You have to go from Adam. You're born the first time in Adam. You have to be born a second time in Christ. You have to be born again. You're born first time physically. You have to be born the second time spiritually. And this is what it means to be in Christ from being in Adam. Everything has changed. Brothers and sisters, everything has changed. You have to see that. Because sometimes we're looking at our lives, we're looking straight down, we're just going, man, it doesn't seem like much has changed around here at all. We're looking down, we're looking at ourselves. But, you know, when we look at Christ, it's a whole different story there. Because we are in Christ Jesus and we are surrounded. We have a wall of the blood of Christ around us. And when God sees us, he sees us through the blood. And when we see him through the blood. And because of the blood, because the sin problem has been taken care of, we have fellowship with the Lord, like a hand in a glove. Fellowship with him. And this hand in a glove, it's not like a baseball player where you get a glove and it's kind of sloppy and stuff. This is like a latex glove, you know. It's like, boom, it's there. It molds to every crease and everything that's on your hand. You know, the Lord is covering his life. And then he goes on in verse 15 and he says, but the free gift. Now we have a free gift. Now, all this other time we've been reading about all that we didn't have, all that we lost in Adam. But now, finally, in verse 15, we're going to see now what do we have in Christ? But the free gift. Adam got us into this mess. Now let's see Christ who gets us out. He is the antidote, the only antidote for this incurable disease of sin that everyone was born with. I remember hearing John Corson years ago speaking about this, and he was talking about, you know, he was making the connection, you know, with in August 6, 1945, you know, the Americans bombed Hiroshima, you know, and Nagasaki, and there was over 250,000 people that were destroyed in that day. He was talking about, you know, the atom bomb. Well, this atom that we're talking about, his bomb was so much greater. That just killed people, you know, physically, and 250,000 or so, but Adam's bomb killed the whole human race off. We're just all annihilated. But now we're seeing that it's going to be restored because we have the free gift. But verse 15, for the free gift is not like the offense, the transgression of Adam. For if by the one man's offense, his choice to sin against God, many died, much more, or even much greater, the antidote far and above heals us, reverses the process, much more the grace of God, his favor upon us, the gift by the grace, his only begotten Son, of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded toward too many. He totally covered, he totally overthrew the sin that we found in Adam. what we lost in Adam, think about this, we more than gained and made up for in Christ. If Adam wouldn't have sinned, if he didn't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, now, what he had at that time, he walked with God in the cool of the evening, he had fellowship with God, but there are some things that he didn't experience. He didn't experience like we have now. He didn't experience the grace of God to forgive sins. Didn't experience he was going to be in the garden for the rest of his life, you know, on earth, but we're going to be going to heaven. You know, he was walking with the Lord. He was with the Lord, but now in Christ Jesus, he's living inside of us. So whatever was lost in paradise, paradise lost is more than paradise found in Christ. We are better off now in Christ Jesus than what we ever would have been in Adam before the fall. We are in a very privileged place. We're going to have eternity with the Lord in heaven, and we have him in us right now. Verse 16, and the free gift is not like, it can't be compared to that which came through the one, Adam, who sinned, for the judgment, the sentence following the transgression, guilty as charged, which came from the one offense, resulted in condemnation. We got the death penalty. The death penalty, gavel was thrown, the death penalty was given to all humanity. But, in contrast, the free gift, verse 16 again, the free gift which came from many offenses, not just Adam's sin, but the whole world's sins, resulted in justification. In Christ, our sins are not just put on his account, but they're put on his back. Our sins had to be atoned for. He had to die for them. Let me give you a verse that goes along with that. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, Christ Jesus, God made Jesus, who didn't know any sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was a transference of life. We gave him our sin, and he gave us his life. It was an exchanged life. What a privilege that we got rid of all of our junk to get all of his blessing. Verse 17, for if by the one man's offense death reigned, when you're looking at reigning, that means that it's like a ruled over as a king, as a kingship. Death was reigning over. We were ruled by death. Death was a king over us through the one, Adam, much more. And this is reversing the process to an even greater extent, much more those who receive abundance of grace. And this is something that we have to receive. You know, in John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. If you receive Christ, it's more than just having a new position. You are now in a new family. You've gone from the family of man, from the family of Adam, to a new family in Christ Jesus. We are now the family of God. It says, again, let me read that verse to you, John 1:12, but as many as received him, received them into their life, acknowledged him, believed in him, put their trust in him, to them he gave the right, it's a right, it's a privilege, to become children of God. We're children of God now. We're no longer children of Adam. You're either a child of Adam or you're a child of God. And if you're a child of God, just praise the Lord for that. It's not a casual thing. This is something that's catastrophic. I mean, sometimes we're real casual about our life in Christ, you know, and it's just like, well, you know, it's okay, you know, we've got some problems, you know, things, you know, I still have trials and tribulations, you know, yeah, but I guess it's okay. You know, I mean, the Lord just wants you to see, oh my goodness, where are you now? You're in Christ. Much more those who received abundance of grace, not just a little bit of grace for Adam's sin, but an abundance for every sin of yours and mine and ours. The abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, his righteousness given to us as a gift. Thank you for the gifts you're giving us. Forgiveness, righteousness, grace, life, that we will reign in life. It's not just getting through life. It's not finding a life. It's not saving your life. But it's in rejoicing in the life that you have in him. You're reigning in life. We're reigning as kings in a kingdom of life. We will reign in life, victorious over sin in this life, as well as the one to follow. But he wants us to be reigning in life, not just getting by. You know, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances, I guess I'm doing okay. Well, what are you doing under circumstances? You're in Christ. You're over those circumstances. Well, I guess everything's okay, but you know, I mean, you know, I mean, we have to go beyond our circumstances here on earth. And I know, and I'm not trying to undermine or, you know, lessen what you guys are going through, because I know you're going through some heavy things. You know, we're all going through some heavy things. But you know what? When you put it in light of eternity, when you put it in light of Christ and who you were in Adam and now who you are in Christ, it means absolutely nothing. All these little things, they fade away. They become smaller and smaller. As he becomes greater and greater, your problems become smaller and smaller. Isn't that true in your life? It surely is in mine. You know, it's just the perspective, you know. Just like Dennis was saying this morning, you know, it's like, you know, it depends on where my eyes are at. You know, if my eyes are on the Lord, well then, you know, then my problems don't look so bad. You know, if my eyes are on myself, yeah, they look really bad. If my eyes are on other people and circumstances around, they look terrible. But if they're on the Lord himself and we're looking at the Lord through the blood of his son, everything is right. We're only going to be here a short time anyway. Life is only a vapor. You know, we're enduring for a while. Even when things are really, very, really difficult, you know, we're just enduring for a while. You know? And we're going to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant. Not because of how well you did all the right things, but because of how well Jesus did. Because you're in Christ Jesus. You're in him. We're not talking about behavior. We're not talking about, you know, what you're doing in your life. You're talking about who your identity is in. Verse 18, therefore, as through one man's offense, now we're looking at offenses, another offense, Adam, judgment came. The death sentence to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through the one man's righteous act, Jesus, the free gift, came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Justification. We've been acquitted. We're in a right standing before God because of what he has done, not because of our good works that we've done, but because of what he's done, and we're just believing in what he has done for us. And now we're in justification of life. New life in Christ. Just like we saw last week in 5:10. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His life now living in us. We're not even living our same life. We don't even have the same resource that we had before. You know, we don't have to, it's not us trying to make ourselves do things and get us up in the morning. I mean, it's his life. It's his strength. It's his ability. It's, you know, it's all about looking to him, verse 19, for as by one man's obedience or disobedience, saying no to God, the forbidden fruit, many were, past tense, were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, saying yes to God in to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, Many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered, or the law came in. Now we're kind of going back over from verse 13. Why is there, what about this law? Why do we have the law at all? The law came in. The law came to the world through Moses after, 2,500 years from Adam. The law came in for one reason, and that's for the offense might abound, that it might produce an awareness of our own personal sins against God, not just Adam's sin in us. Because, see, the law was added so that we would see our own sin, our own failure, not just what we had in Adam, but our own personal sins. And then he says that the law entered that the offense may abound, so that it might increase, that it might overflow, that it might, our sin might be illuminated, the full weight of conviction, that people could see how, we could see how sinful we are. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can't even start until you see how sinful you are. You can't even get the first base, getting out of Adam unless you see that you have a problem in Adam. Most people, it's like they're in Adam, but it's like, hey, I like Adam. What's the alternative? I mean, you don't even know what the alternative is because your eyes are blinded, because you're dead. You're dead in Adam. Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound, but where sin abounded, where sin increased and condemned and overflowed, grace, the antidote, abounded, increased all the more, supplied all of our lack, much more. See what's being said here? So where sin was abounding in our life, grace was the antidote for our sin. So you have abounding sin, and then you have the abounding antidote in Christ. And if that was just enough, that would be great. That'd be wonderful. But it doesn't even say that. It says where sin abounded, grace abounded. How much more? Much more. He didn't just say where sin abounded, grace abounded. That would have been equal. Where sin abounded, grace abounded more. So the grace of God would be elevated. Whoa, I like that. There's more grace in my sin, so he can cover it real easily. But no, it goes beyond that. Where sin abounded, and we know abounding sin. Do you know what's abounding sin? Yeah, I think we're pretty aware of that. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Much more. There's no comparison. It's not a problem for God to forgive our sins. It's not like it's like, wow, man, you've really blown it a lot. Gosh, I have grace to give, but man, you've got a swimming pool of sin, and I've got, like a few buckets full of grace to try to fill it in. I don't know if I can do that. Well, the grace of God is more than just a swimming pool. It's like the whole Pacific Ocean. There is no limit to the grace of God. There's never been a person who could out-sin God's grace. This is who we are in Christ. We're not talking about our practical lives right now, and because, the Lord certainly wants to clean us up. He wants to change us. He wants to do that work. But we need to see who we are in Christ first, because if you don't know who you are in Christ, then none of that other stuff even makes any difference. Changing makes no difference, because unless we're in Christ, unless we understand that, well, then it's all going to be by what? Our change is going to be by self-effort. We need so much more than self-effort. We need a whole new life, a whole new identity. And we find that in Christ himself. Verse 21, so that as sin reigned in death, ruled as king in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's two headships in our lives. Either you're either in Adam in death, or in Christ in life. When a general goes to war, and if he loses, everyone loses. He represents the whole army. And so he's lost, so the whole army loses. When a president signs a bill enacts a bill, and he signs that bill, it affects the whole nation, even though one man has done it. And this is what we're talking about here with the headship. One person, but affects the whole world. So in Adam, we identified with him. His sin is our sin. His death is our death. He polluted our bloodline. But in Christ, not only does he forgive us, but he's making us a brand new creation. He is the antidote for sin. Now, we have to identify in our own lives the fact that if you are a believer, who you were in Adam is dead. When you receive Christ Jesus, you received his life. And by identification, you lost who you were in Adam. Romans 6:4 says, therefore you were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. We identified with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Adam, who we were in Adam, that scoundrel. Why do you want to resurrect that? I mean, I think about who I was in Adam. I don't want anything to do with him. I don't want anything to do with him any longer. And I don't have to, because that's not who I am any longer. Don't let the enemy try to bring you back into thinking that you are who you were. You are not who you were. If you've received Christ Jesus, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new for those who have received him. Who you were in Adam, who I was in Adam, he got just what he deserved, death. And I'm applauding it. So the question is, the only question that we have, am I in Adam or am I in Christ? And we need to get this settled. You can't be both. But I think even in this morning that we're here together, that we can say goodbye for the last time to the chief nemesis of our life, and that's Adam. And then we can just bow our knee in understanding, in the joy that we can have in knowing that we are solidly in Christ. When you mess up, it's not like, okay, now you're just kind of in Christ. You know, it's just like, you know, you know, it's like somehow my failure is going to change God's idea about this whole thing. Nothing has changed whatsoever. My sin, where sin abounded, and where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Now, out of the ash heap of crucified Adam emerges this new creation in Christ. You need to see yourself that way. You need to see yourself in Christ, resurrected from the dead, reigning in life, the gift of righteousness, free gift of grace, abounding in grace, justified in him. That's where you're at. You either have one or the other. And if you're in Christ, don't go back to thinking about Adam. That's just who I am. I guess I never got rid of, you know, who I was before. I thought maybe, you know, I had some hope and You know, I thought maybe when I gave my life to the Lord that things would be different, but I guess everything's the same. You know, not at all. It's our thinking is wrong. And the Lord wants to get our thinking right on this, because we can put ourselves in bondage just by the way that we think. You're free. You know, it's like you're in a prison cell and the door's open. And then you turn your back to the open door and you hang onto the bars on the back window and you go, oh, I wish I could be free. And then the Lord says, come on out. You know, it's just like, you know, look around you. You know, it's just like, but you're looking at your own self, your situation and all the different things. You know, you're overwhelmed. You can't take it anymore. You know, Jesus says, look around. Look to me. We're looking out the window away from him. He says, come to me. Follow me. I will give you life. I will give you freedom. I will set you free. And Father, we thank you for the incredible blessings you give us. Lord, that so far beyond even our wildest understanding when we first even come to know you, Lord, how deep this is, how deep your love is for us. Forgive us for underestimating your goodness. Forgive us for underestimating all that you've done to change us and to transform us, Lord. Forgive us for not believing and just trying to figure things out on our own rather than just trusting in you. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here that hasn't got it right yet, as far as you don't even know yet if you've really even come out of Adam yet. And that's what an important question that is. An important question for all of us to really think about. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't come out of Adam and into Christ, or if you're not sure, or you haven't fully come, you don't feel like you've fully come out of the dark into the light, well, I'll just encourage you, you know, even as we close, we'll have people in front, just come on up and to pray. And just make sure that it's right. You just get it right so that you can know that you know that you know that you're in Christ and you're out of Adam. And if there's any confusion on this point, then I encourage you, by the grace of God, just to get it right today. Don't leave here without getting it absolutely right, because he wants to set you free like you've never been before. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.